stop resistance as our history's real. A strong will can shine like gold, it's heavier than lead.
Welcome to the Wayne Bennett Podcast, celebrating West Virginia people, places, and the culture of Southern Appalachia. Now here's your host, Wayne Bennett.
I don't want to go no further if I can't face myself. I want to be better. I want to climb up from this well. I push down my demons. Be the best version of myself. Be the best version of myself.
Welcome to Wayne Bennett's podcast. This is episode 82, and it's election day in November of 2022, and people were getting out. There's going to be a lot of people happy and a lot of people disappointed today, but that's the nature of the beast, I guess. Our guest today, we've been on the show before, Larry Foster. Welcome, Larry. Glad to have you.
Glad to be here.
Last time you were here was October the 22nd, 2021, and Doug Lieber, welcome to have you, buddy. And
glad to be here, Coach.
You were here with your brother August the 28th, 2021, and talked about a variety of different things. But let's talk baseball a little bit.
All right.
Now, what last year when we spoke with you, just ending the baseball season at Babe Ruth, and you had a good year. What about this year? How did things go?
You know, it went really well. I mean, it was season four. I mean, 4 years went by that fast that Jeff and I took over the league. We had the 15-year-olds win the state championship. They took out Huntington and Beckley 2 games in a row. They 10-runned them in the second game, so it was great for that run. And then the whole area, the community come out for them to do their fundraising. They probably raised around $25,000.
Really?
And they made their trip to Eau Claire, Wisconsin. They got up there, and this time they won the first game. And then they lost the next couple when they were out. But it wasn't no blowouts. They lost by like 4 runs to Crown Point, Indiana. And then I think they lost by 6 runs. They ended up playing Crown Point again.
Uh-huh.
So they had some good success this year. They had a real good club. It was a little bit different format. The prior club in 19, they were pitching strong. This one was more hitting strong, and they could hit the ball. So that done really well. And then that season finally ended. And then we kind of kept the season going as we had the All-Stars going on. And as soon as the All-Stars were over, we were in our championship games in the Bambino. And the Jan Care team won the championship for the league. And then we took about a month off. Me and Jeff get our life back together a little bit. And then we had fall ball. And we had one of our best groups of kids. And there's numbers. We had 56 kids sign up for fall ball.
Really?
Usually it's 20, 30 that play and show up. But we actually had 4 organized teams and even had a little championship game out of it. You know.
I know for a while you guys were kind of advertising for coaches in the fall ball.
Mm-hmm. That's the funny part, right? So, you know, we had 40 kids at the time. And Jeff went over, because I was in Colorado working, and Jeff went over to do the draft. You know, real simple process. Nobody showed up to say, I want to help umpiring or coaching. So I put out a little note on Facebook. I said, look, you know, we've got to have you for this fall format completely. I said, if we don't, I hate to do it. I'm going to give you a full refund.
Uh-huh.
Here, and then so I'm out in Colorado. I get a call from a couple of news agencies saying, I heard you don't have this and that. Would you do an interview? I'm like, yeah. Next thing I know, we have 4 coaches, 56 kids. We were playing ball 2 nights a week.
That's good. Yeah,
so it worked out fine.
Yeah.
It really did.
How many teams did you have in the summer league?
7.
7.
Yeah.
Is there any, you think there'll be any growth the next year?
You know, each year I predict 100, but I'm hitting, or not, the league is hitting around 85 every year. So I don't know where the other 15 are at. I'm going to find them yet. But I'm going to continue to be transparent as I can, keep doing things. And even these things right here should help. Doing these podcasts, doing interviews, whatever I can do. But I would like to get to 100. I'd like to get it back to having some type of a 13-year-old league where they play amongst themselves, even if they're in a mix in the 14, 15-year-old teams, but they're actually competing against themselves a little bit extra on the side.
Uh-huh.
I think it'd be good growth for them because they're going up here playing these folks that are in high school and high school pitching, and it's hard for a 13-year-old unless they're like that talented.
Yeah.
They get back down to their age group, a little different story. You know, they might have some more progress, more chance to develop.
Yeah.
But we got to get enough kids to do it. Just to have three teams, you're looking at approximately 45 kids.
Yeah.
You know, because through attrition, you're going to lose a few during the season anyway. So you got to have that kind of strength of group of 13s. So, and we're wide open. There's no charters other than us in southern West Virginia. So we can have any 13s from anywhere. We get them different counties now. Wyoming County plays, Raleigh County. I've had some kids in Summers County. So, and it's all around the county. It's just not Beckley.
Uh-huh.
You know? So we're really not. We are Beckley, Babe Ruth, but I'll tell you, we're all around the county. Uh-huh. All schools, Liberty, Shady, Independence, and Woodrow kids.
Oh, Larry, you were the chief groundskeeper last year, weren't you? Did you work on that this year?
Oh, yeah.
Did you help with the fall league too?
Yeah. I enjoy it. I tell you what, it's back in the late 70s when I worked for the city, the recreation department, that was one of my jobs then, was to take care of Williams Field and Beckley Babe Ruth. So when Doug asked me, he said something about cutting grass, need to get somebody to cut grass. I said, I'll do it, And then I said, I can do line field off too. I said, I did that for years. So,
and now, it had a lot of rain this year, though. Yeah, could have been a problem.
But the field over the last two or three years has really improved. Adam Kaminsky comes up from Roanoke and aerates it and overseeds it. And gets the infield kind of ready to go for the year. And then if you take care of it and it's done on a daily basis, it rains out pretty good. So we didn't have that many rain out this year.
June was a dry. I mean, we didn't have any rain. That's maybe one. And then July and August came along. And I think out of the 2 months, we had about five. So, but that's with several days we played with rain and the field held the water, and it would, so it's done really good. Like Larry's mentioned, I think Adam comes on a quarterly basis to do a treatment on that field. The city's really helped us out with getting that field, like doing a quarterly treatment to it and stuff. So Adam's came along and it's really made a big difference on that.
Yeah. Well, I was doing a little research a while back and I just ran across a little bit on the history, a little more history than Babe Ruth League. And I don't know whether you guys are aware of it, there's several things I didn't know. They, at one time, everybody played up at Warren Williams Field, but right. it was actually called the Woodrow Wilson Diamond back then. And they had high school, they had little league, they had a league that was Babe Ruth age. It was called Little Bigger League.
Right.
They had a junior league, which was a 16 and 18 year old. They had the Raleigh County League, which was an adult league. American Legion was huge back then. And I mean, everybody had American Legion team, but they all played their home games at the Dust Bowl.
Dust Bowl.
And somewhere around 53, 54.
52.
Harry Lewin got this push, and he, with support of the Beckley JCs and the Junior Chamber of Commerce, and went and wanted to build a field over by the city park. And that time, this is a loose history I'm giving you, but the recreation board said, "Yeah, well, they'll try it out." Well, they had engineer, Sam Hodge, and there was a guy named Cat Curtis. They're both engineers, and they kind of went over and surveyed and laid everything out. It was wooded at that time. And they said, yeah, you can get a field on here, but it's going to take a lot of excavating and work. And so the JCs and the Junior Chamber of Commerce gave Harry $1,000 to get started, which $1,000 back in the early 50s was a pretty good chunk of money, and a lot of people didn't make $2,000 to $3,000 a year. So they started doing the Leo Vasilio and Oscar Vasilio donated the excavating and clearing, which was huge. And then of course later when they actually got into construction, Acme Construction, Houchins Block, several businesses donated, which helped tremendously, but didn't cover everything. And so they actually thought that they were going to be able to start the league in the middle of 54, but they didn't. It didn't come along that well. But Harry Lewin was, and Harry Lewin at one time was the manager of Silver Brand, and then he ended up opening his own men's shop, Harry's Men's Shop. And but he was the guy who was going around primarily collecting all the money. And so they thought everything was coming along well. They would be able to start Babe. They did become Babe Ruth Baseball before they went over to Harry Lewin Field. In the spring of 1955, they thought they were going to be able to start the games over at Harry Lewin Field. But the field, the lights weren't ready. The field was pretty well set, but they had to backstop it. Actually, Harry Lewin broke his ankle working on the backstops, which is probably the backstops that's over there now. And Bob, Senator Byrd, was trying to get money for the bleachers. They hadn't had the bleachers put in yet. He was trying to get some federal money around that time. And then Harry Lewin actually got, and during the construction, got hit in the head with a shovel and I think spent some time in a hospital with the doctor. So this guy paid the price, you know, and he was dedicated. They didn't, so the fields weren't ready. They were still playing Babe Ruth games over at the Dust Bowl. Well, somebody scheduled a state Babe Ruth baseball tournament in 1955 in Meckley, and they really needed two fields. So then they started really cramming and get the lights up. And I think Harry Lewin pretty much paid for the lights himself, the poles now. That was the old telephone poles. In July, the day before the state tournament was supposed to start, July the 21st, they got the lights completed. The games started on July the 22nd. First games ever played at Harry Lewin Field. And it wasn't the official dedication or anything like that, but they got bleachers from Stratton High School. They borrowed the bleachers. Coach Murray Jeffries helped them take the bleachers over and just sit on the side of the hill just to get that tournament in. Yeah. And so they had the state tournament. The finals of the state tournament was the next week in Parkersburg, but the preliminary rounds were held in Beckley. So for all his work, of course, people referred it to as the Harry Lewin Field before it actually became officially the Harry Lewin Field, because he obviously was going to name it then. But in 1983, he was inducted into the National Babe Ruth Hall of Fame, which rightfully so. Now, the Babe Ruth Association has kind of dropped off as far as number of people. It used to be in the old days, everybody had a Babe Ruth team. And West Virginia, there's not but a couple now, are there?
If you're talking about to have a 13, 14, 15-year-old league, which is pretty much your standard league nowadays, you're looking at basically Huntington, Elkins, and Beckley.
Yeah.
But just a little tidbit right here, I don't know if you know that or not, but Jeff Leopardi is now the state commissioner for West Virginia for Babe Ruth.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so he just took on that role this summer, and he was really about trying to get the whole state going again and playing Babe Ruth. Now, there's some smaller other leagues that are like your Cal Ripken leagues.
Yeah.
Kind of like the polar of Little League, 11, 12-year-olds. And there's a few of them around the state as well. But your big three, it's right there. Even Harrison County was a fourth team at one point, but they fell away. I don't know what happened to Harrison County either.
Have they gone to another senior little league, or have they
I don't know. I don't know if it failed, just fell apart in that area, and they're playing in different regions or what they're doing. I don't know.
Yeah.
See, the state commissioner we had for the last couple of years, he just didn't communicate anymore. Just kind of went by the wayside. And so they basically had to make a move, and they were talking to us about the All-Stars this year, saying they're looking for a new state commissioner. And Jeff said, you know, I think I want to do this. I said, jump on it. You know, I said, you got to do some travel and go around the state. And I said, I think Jeff will be a good one to try to reignite a few leagues.
Yeah.
So that's one of his new tasks, and they're okay with him staying as vice president at our league. So it's going pretty good.
That's good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Incidentally, in the first state tournament that was held here in Beckley, Babe Ruth, there was a Phil Lieber that played on one of the teams. You know a Phil Lieber?
Phil. I have to get back, talk to the family a little bit. I'll find Phil Lieber somewhere.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys will be.
That name's not ringing a bell right now, but that could be some of the family that moved to Charleston at one point, or people's left the area too in the earlier years.
Larry, your guys, when you were co-owner of Spartans, you guys helped a lot getting the league started with equipment and those kind of things.
Yeah, when Doug took over, you know, and of course, in the process, you know, a couple of years in, we were closing, and we had quite a lot of things we donated back to the league and stuff there, you know, as far as uniforms and things like that we had, you know, that we were closing out. So,
yeah.
And that was just it was a good way for us to kind of give back to the Babe Ruth and good customers for a whole time, a long time with us. So.
Well, I've seen the Babe Ruth field too. I've seen high school games out there. I've seen open the industrial league games. I've actually seen softball tournaments out there. They moved the pitching thing up, mound up, but it was so. It's had a lot of. I'm not sure you want to do that too much because it kind of ruins the infield a little bit shorter bases. But well, that's great. Well, you guys.
One thing on the Babe Ruth too. I did, you know, you're talking about the history back here. I found located a picture of the first Babe Ruth champions, was Harry's Minshaw.
Really?
And I got that picture. And the other picture, I think that was like, they probably didn't play at the field at that time. It was 1952. In 1954, I found a picture of Calfee's. And it's got a picture of the team and, you know, all the roster of the guys.
Uh-huh.
And then I found I found an old modern furniture jersey that we framed.
Blue Ridge.
You know, we're trying to maybe get some all these things where we can dress up our press box, you know, so if anybody has anything old from that they have from Babe Ruth, we'd love to have it.
Wow.
You know, and but the pictures are really good. I showed Doug, you know, I found those, and you know, a lot of people might have some old pictures or something, some teams. There were so many teams back then, you know.
Yeah, and you know, some of your first sponsors. It's, of course, times have changed, but you mentioned modern furniture, and that they were uptown. You had Eric's Jewelry, you had Silver Brand Clothes, mm-hmm. Harry's, Keatley's, King Photo. All of them were uptown. Of course, later on, when I played, is when they added teams like Blue Ridge and some of those teams, of course. But most of your teams come from downtown Beckley. Yeah. Of course, there was no malls or anything.
I was talking to Coach Barksdale. You know, he worked over quite a lot. Yeah, he paved over a lot. But I was showing him that modern furniture jersey. He said, I played for them. And that's an old wool jersey.
Yeah.
I mean, this is an old wool jersey. You know, the Blue Ridge is a more modern fabric. Yeah. But the modern was a wool jersey.
Well, I played for New River Supply. They had a store uptown, too, and I played for them for 3 years. And I can't remember the guy's name now. He didn't own New River, but he was one of their salesmen, and he kind of handled the baseball team as far as equipment and everything. And he would come to all of our games. He wasn't our manager, but he'd come to our games and stuff. Yeah. Great fellow. But you guys put a lot of time in. I mean, what do you get out of it, Doug? You don't have any kids, but you did experience, and your dad was big coaching.
Well, you know, Coach, I told somebody this last night, you know, with Antonio being there now, that's Jeff's son, that's the third generation of our family to be over there, coach, help out with the league, do all these different things over the years. So I grew up over there, and I played through there. Then I was helping Sarge coach. I helped build the old monster, and he was shocking me the whole time because that old welder was just not grounded. You know, just those memories, right? And then when I got back, Antonio was at that age, and my other nephew, Eddie, and Tyler, and a few others, we coached again. We ended up coaching Larry's team for the last year, and we didn't even have any kids on the team. And to this day, I still say, give the kids a good venue, a good place to come, and they'll have memories of a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I still like to see the kids come over there. I do it for the kids kind of thing. I'm not trying to be cliche, but I do it for them. You know, I try to give them the best field I possibly can, the best format I can, to keep most even balance. When Larry come along and took over that field, he took a ton of pressure off me. I mean, it's one of those things, I ain't gonna worry about the field. When I go over there in the evening time, all I do is run the league. He tells me, hey, here's the field, it's ready to go. And it's lined, it's cut, it's ready to go. And you have that kind of stuff. And parents walk and say, man, that's a beautiful field. I said, one guy's at wrecking crew jobs, does it by himself every day. He puts his time in over. Coach Barksdale. I mean, my gosh. I mean, all the things he does, time he dresses up, fill all the signs, those kids have a ball field to play. And they see all the sponsors behind them. makes a big difference. And that's what I get out of it.
Yeah.
So I have my frustration moments, don't get me wrong. But right now, you know, I still, me and Larry do the Marshall Club together. We're friends. We pretty much talk at least 3 or 4 times a day. So there's that camaraderie between us, me and my brother. I mean, there's just so many things we're intertwined in that it's part of the community, you know, and to see these kids different areas come and play ball here, love it. Want more.
Larry, you've done a little bit of everything over there. Have you ever umpired over there?
No. He turned me down on that one. I've never played basketball for about 15 years, but no umpiring. It's enjoyable to go on over and getting things ready for the kids. And, you know, it's just, I work, you know, 42 years at Spartans. And, you know, I got time to give stuff back now.
You don't want to sit still either. You're not the guy that sits still.
Coach, I told him I'd buy him a hot dog and pay for certification. He still wouldn't bite.
Well, I got recruited 1 year to umpire over there when Sarge Mayer was running it. And I don't know what happened, but 2 or 3 of his umpires quit on him. And he was in a pinch. And I don't know. I think it was one too many times at Jimmy's place, but I ended up and I umpired the whole year because I told him I would. I umpired the Ohio Valley 13-year-old tournament they had, and I actually liked to call behind the plate. Most of the guys didn't like to call behind the plate. They'd rather call the bases, but I preferred the plate, and so I got to work plenty, but I had my issues. I didn't know the rules as well as some of the guys did, and there were some coaches out there that bring it out, but it was fun. But after that, I figured I'd done paid my dues.
Oh, yeah.
That was one of the things. Well, you guys are also have been or are officers in the Marshall University Southern Coalfields Alumni Big Green Club, and that's man, that's an active bunch. Tell us a little bit about that, Larry.
A little history on it is, you know, I graduated there in 75, and coming back to Beckley, I think the first memory I have of something that the alumni has done, we used to have a dinner at the Armory, and that was in the 80s. And, you know, we would have Marshall alumni dinner. We'd invite somebody up from the university to be a guest speaker. And you know, I can remember going to those in the early 80s, maybe mid 80s, and kind of off that, a golf tournament kind of sprung up, you know. And I think Bill Patton and Bill Richmond, Dave Stanton, kind of started a little golf tournament. And it was just very small, like Grand View. And I don't know, you know, I came out and played. And from that point on, it was like, you know, maybe in the late 80s, golf tournament just got bigger. You know, and then I think when Coach Chomp was there, he came to a dinner, but I don't think he ever played golf with us. But then when Coach Donnan took over, he was a big golfer. So the golf tournament just grew from that point.
Uh-huh.
And we were basically, you know, the Big Green Club, you know, the Beckley Athletic Club, the Big Green. And we had, that was the only function we did. So, and we ran that through all through the 90s. You know, and all our funds went back, you know, to athletic scholarships. And we, you know, Coach Donnan was there 4 years, and then Coach Pruitt was there for 10 years. He was up, you know, we always had coaches up.
He liked to play golf.
He liked to play golf. But it was, you know, and the golf tournament really just kept getting bigger and bigger. And then then the alumni clubs kind of took another chance of getting the club started. And it was maybe, what, 2 or 3 years, but it just never got off the ground.
Yeah.
And I guess 5 years ago, Coach Pruitt and
President Gilbert
came up, and we met with them, and he goes, you know, we need to get this alumni thing going. So we had a function at Black Knight one evening, a big turnout, and we invited some people, I think, from Cincinnati, and they had put their clubs together, their alumni group and their Big Green group. And that's when we kind of combined the alumni, which we really had really kind of gone by the wayside again.
Mm-hmm.
So we got them started. And after that dinner, it was amazing how many people came out. And, you know, and we decided to go with the original, I think, 5 counties, Raleigh, Wyoming, Fayette, Summers, and Greenbrier. And after the first 2 years, we kind of dropped the Greenbrier because they were starting their own chapter.
Uh-huh.
So we've been the Marshall Southern Coalfields now for 5 years, and it's amazing, you know, what the help we've got. You know, we had a meeting last night, and we have anywhere from 10 to 16, 18 people every second Tuesday of the month, which is the first Tuesday.
How many members do you have, or how do you be a member of?
Well, you know, just you start coming to our meetings, and I mean, there's, you know, we have our meetings, I think it's the second Monday of the month, and we can meet at Calcino's.
6 o'clock.
At 6 o'clock in the front park, because they're kind of closed in the front park that night. And last night it was the first Monday, but we're having the movie, or, you know, we're having a function next Monday with Marshall. But you know, we have regular elections. I think I was the first president, did it for a year. And Larry Canterbury from over at Fayette County was second. And Doug did it 2 years. And Tim Cyrus is now president for the next 2 years. And we have divided our monies up now to where our fundraising, we have actually two golf tournaments now. We have one at Grandview, and we have one in Wyoming County. So we have tried, you know, function in Wyoming County. Then we have a bowl-a-thon that we do in Fayette County. Uh-huh. And we have our annual dance in January. And each one of those brings in our funds that we fund our alumni group in Huntington. The foundation, I think the Alumni Foundation, and we've established a scholarship for one student from all four of our counties. And we started out with a $500 scholarship. Now, over 2 years, last 2 years, we've gotten $1,500 for a kid. So one student from Raleigh, Fayette, Summers, and Wyoming County receives a scholarship from us for $1,500. And then we started in the $25,000 endowment on the alumni side. We funded that up now. We're about 13,000 after 2 years, I think. We're up to 13,000 on that 25. And then the rest of it goes to the Big Green, and that funds athletic scholarships.
Now, the Big Green, I mean, like, you're a local entity, but are you separate bookkeeping than the Huntington, or how does that work?
We do our own bookkeeping here.
Yeah.
And we are an entity of the Big Green and of the alumni. And actually, I'm the treasurer of it, so I have to turn in quarterly financials to the Big Green and to the alumni. So, and at the end of the year, what we do as we raise our money, usually on the fourth quarter, then we do our donations to the Big Green Club, you know, Marshall, and to the alumni.
So now the treasurer's job is one you don't want to change every year, like, over 2 years. Like,
it's, yeah, we can,
but gosh, you know,
I've been doing it for,
yeah.
Coach, I'm gonna say the last two times we have boards, you know, they elect officers, and everybody says, anybody else want to be treasurer? No, say Larry.
The longer you're doing it, the more experience. Yeah. It's easier.
I
can understand that.
And you know, like I said, everything. It's not hard. You know, we have four really fundraising events. And then we do other things, too. We have game watching parties. Like, you know, we'll have a bowl. Marshall's at a bowl, and we'll go to Calcino's and have game watching parties. We have monies we raise there. We had one time we had a motorcycle, you know, one of those motorcycle runs where everybody fell on their motorcycles on the road. So we're always looking for something different.
Yeah.
To keep raising money.
Is it easier to raise money when the teams are winning?
I'm sure it is. But, you know, our sponsorships here, Wayne, we just have a tremendous amount of sponsors. You know, we can go to,
very true.
We're having a golf tournament. We need a, you know, $125, $5 sign to put on the, you know, I can't remember. Anybody says no. You know, we have a big list of supporters. We're trying to do, you know, something in Fayette County so we can go over there with the bowling. We go to Wyoming, and we have different people. You go to Wyoming County, have a golf tournament. It's usually people from Wyoming County or Logan County.
It's been
real good. Fayette County, the bowl-a-thon is just a family event. We've got kids, grandkids coming to bowling, and it's a Sunday afternoon.
We had to split it in two halves.
It's got really big, and it's a lot of fun.
I think also, I tell you, I was a little skeptical when they first hired Brad Smith. But because I said, yeah, he's not an educator or stuff. Then I thought, he's a businessman. That's what they need. And the guy is, I mean, you listen to him talk and what he's involved in, and he's the most positive person you'll ever want to meet. Plus, see, he's got some money. He donated 20-some million dollars to the medical school, I think. But and since he's been there, the place has been a buzz. I mean, he's got to be a plus as far as that Marshall's concerned.
Yeah, I think it was a great hire. I think Dr. Gilbert did a good job when he was there. Got to know him. As you know, things change and everything. And I think that President Smith, he's going to do a great job here.
Yeah,
you're right. He's positive on everything. Anything he puts his mind to, it takes off.
Yeah. Well, I know he's introduced a program where he's guaranteed a certain number of kids can go 4 years. They won't owe a dime when they get done. He guarantees it. You can't beat that.
Yeah.
But and also you got a athletic director, Christian Spears. I mean, he seems like he's on the ball. I like the idea of Marshall getting in the Sun Belt because the way they got them divided, you know, you're not going out west every time and where the fans can't come and see you. You've got, you know, the East Coast teams you can play with. Of course, you'll touch base with the West Coast teams later on in football or in basketball.
But, you know, travel-wise, it's you know, I've already been to James Madison game. You know, it was 2 hours and 40 minutes to Harrisonburg. I'm going to Georgia Southern here. Not this week, next week. That's the longest trip, probably 7 hours. Old Dominion last week, 6 hours. So, I mean, in Coastal Carolinas in Myrtle Beach, and we'll fill that place. So, I mean, our division is very travel, you know, easy travel for us on our division.
Now, did Wyoming County have a alumni association and you guys combined with them, or no, y'all just involved?
So, we had Gary Poindexter, Rick Rosonico,
and they really helped down in that area.
Those two guys really stepped up. So that golf outing down there, without them, we wouldn't have had what we've had. They did the work, the footwork down there.
Yeah.
We just supported them, but just basically admin-wise, you know, paper-wise, setting up the pairings, all those different things they want us to do, and they did all the legwork. Like Larry and I and the whole club, now we do legwork up here in Beckley for the ones that live up here, doing the signs, getting everything set up, get everything donated. They took care of it down here, and they did an excellent job.
Yeah. Now, you guys are not, I mean, the association, your chapter, not only in fundraising and scholarships and those things, but you guys have been involved in some humanitarian projects. I know there was, you've had blood drives, and is that an annual thing?
Yeah, I would say it's definitely going to be an annual thing. I'll tell you, we have a secret weapon in our club. Her name's Amanda Ashley. She comes up with all the stuff that's like that, either the new fundraisers, like the bike fundraiser, riding motorcycles, blood drives. Every time we do the bowling, we do a food drive for animals. So if you bring in dog food, cat food, whatever you want to bring in, there's a special drawing for that. So we do a lot of different things. So Larry and Larry, we get done, they split up the food, and they take it over to the Raleigh County and the Fayette County Humane Center, and they get the dog foods there.
Yeah,
or whatever, cats, whatever the Q&A of the case may be. So there's a lot of things we do on the outreach as well. And that's part of our scope. And that's why we were chapter of the year last year. We was brought up to Huntington to represent our club up there. All the things we've done, but more than just raising money. And that's one of them.
Yeah.
So we got chapter of the year. It was really special for us.
Well, I know you guys helped with the floods in eastern Kentucky, too.
Right.
In the spring.
I think we ended up a little under $2,000 there raised, you know, for we purchased, you know, cleaning supplies and things. I think we had $185 left, and there was a guy down there that had a pizza place that he was feeding people. So we sent him $185, whatever we had left.
Yeah,
we sent it to him because he'd been feeding people. So we just said, you know, that'll help him out.
Well, you mentioned the golf, you got to. Randy Scott, who's the Marshall guy graduate that owns Grandview, I'm sure he's easy to work with.
Oh, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I like the idea of the ball drop you guys had with the tractor comes out and dumps them, and then the closest to the hole, I mean, that was good stuff.
That was a memory of Mark Walker, which, you know, Mark was a big part. of our group, you know, he passed away. And that was one of the things we did. You know, it's actually the Mark Walker Ballroom. And all that money goes to the endowment.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. What do you got? Anything new coming up in the next few months?
The next thing for us, as far as if barring a game watching party, which you get about Calcino's, you know, we do our meetings there once a month and all that. They're very good to us, Jeff and Jamie. They let us have the room. We do bowl watching parties there. So we try to get more crowd and more involvement like that. But our next big thing will be the dance in January.
Uh-huh.
So January 28th. Yeah. We'll always do it at Black Knight. Nice venue, nice setup there. Last year, we pretty much filled the room. Last few years, we pretty much filled the room. Except during a COVID year, we didn't have a dance. Well, was it COVID 2 years or?
Yeah.
Both years that we had COVID, we didn't have a dance. And then so we got it going again last year. We had a heck of a turnout. We had a lot of the old athletes come back to play. You had Matt Morse, Doug Ligursky, can't remember his last name off the top of my head, Will Alvin.
No.
And there was a couple of others and their wives, and it was just you had the player Chris Gross. Chris is on our club. Yeah. So, I mean, he helps out with that as well. So you have a big faction of people in there, and some are players, and some have done this and done that. And it's a heck of a crowd.
That's good. That's great. Well, guys, man, our time has flown. I didn't realize. I mean, it just seems like 5 minutes when we sit down and talk. So I asked you this the last time, but, you know, we'd like to get you guys back maybe around the beginning of baseball season and see what's come up. I'm sure anything that you – it's something you guys can handle, but I appreciate you coming. You guys have done a lot of good, and you're both dear to me, and glad to have you. Appreciate you coming.
Yes, sir.
We'll do it again. And anyone else that wants to be out there and be on the show, awbennett50@gmail.com. You can hit me up, and we'd be glad to have you. And remember, until next time, if you're not dead yet, you're not done yet. God bless you.